an airline that is struggling to stay in business despite nearly empty planes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. After two terrible disasters this year involving Malaysia Airlines, the government there moved today to keep its national airline in business. Thousands of employees will lose their jobs. The BBC's Ali Moore is covering this from Singapore.
The key thing, 6,000 jobs to go. That's something like 30% of the 20,000-strong workforce at Malaysia Airlines. There'll be a new CEO by the middle of next year. This is an airline that hasn't produced an annual profit since 2010. Indeed, just yesterday, it announced its sixth straight quarterly loss. So a major overhaul was what was called for. Indeed, a major overhaul had been planned before they had these twin disasters of MH17 and MH370. And so now you have a situation where the airline will be delisted, and the aim is within 3 years, return it to sustainable profitability.
So the company will be private. It's been delisted from the stock exchange, but it's clear the government of Malaysia is determined to keep the airline flying. It's putting a lot of money from its sovereign wealth fund in.
It is, $1.9 billion. But this is a national carrier. You hear people in Malaysia talking about it. It's their national pride. There is no plan to change the name of the airline. And that's one thing that some brand analysts were saying. The brand has been so damaged, perhaps they'd have to look at that. But while the government's determined, and certainly through the state investment fund, they're putting in a lot of money, they are saying that it's not survival at any cost, that success is not guaranteed. It is a lot of money. It's public money, and they're going to have to be very strictly publicly accountable for what they spend.
The BBC's Ali Moore joining us from Singapore this morning. Ms. Moore, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
One Malaysia Airlines plane was shot down over Ukraine, and it's been nearly 6 months since another Malaysia flight out of Kuala Lumpur vanished. This week, Australian authorities said, based on a new analysis of attempted satellite telephone calls, they're slightly refining the continued search for the plane in the Indian Ocean. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.2% at the moment. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The euro is up ever so slightly at 131.9. Now, here's the difference between a bonus versus a raise. A raise lives on. A bonus can be a one-off. A new survey suggests employers are using bonuses rather than traditional raises to compensate workers. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein asks whether this is an artifact of the post-recession period or a trend that will persist.
In its annual U.S. salary increase survey, human resources consulting firm Aon Hewitt found performance-based bonuses were nearly 13% of payroll this year. That's the highest percentage in 35 years. University of Wisconsin business professor Barry Gerhard says there's an easy explanation why.
If you put the money into salary, it's there forever. If you give out the money in terms of a bonus, people get it that year, and they have to re-earn it the following year.
Bosses' love affair with bonuses began pre-recession. Even if the economy heats up, Gerhard doubts firms will move back to annual across-the-board raises because carrying fewer fixed costs gives companies flexibility. Wharton Business School economist Ivan Baranke says if businesses rely on bonuses, they must be careful.
If they are not designed well, it leads just to an environment where people are gaming the scheme just to maximize their bonus, but not really creating more value to the company.
Baranke says incentives are like a meal. What you put in determines whether you get what you want. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
A Chicago ad agency uses its ground floor lobby as a kind of gallery with picture windows facing the street. This summer's exhibit now wrapping up, the company's interns doing their jobs, working around a long black table. Among the signs in the window, one that reads, "Feeding the interns is permitted and appreciated," which seems less than respectful. But they're just interns, you say. They're also human beings, for Pete's sake, and Marketplace's Dan Weissman spoke to them.
The dozen interns at the Chicago office of Havas Worldwide make out like working in public view is no big deal.
Like every now and then we'll look up and there's like people like peering through like between the signs like trying to figure out what's going on.
That may be because they applied for the job, or the right word, maybe auditioned for it, in public. Jason Peterson, who runs the 500-person office, designed the internship. I met him in the lobby with the interns.
So this year's internship program was entirely cast and recruited through Instagram.
To apply, potential interns posted to Instagram.
It was a hashtag, I'm here to take your job.
That's intern Chris Haney, and that's I am here to take your job.
So basically you kind of challenged an employee that works here and kind of posted something on Instagram to say why you would be better suited for the position.
Haney posted a stop motion video. It showed an airplane flying in front of a colorful line of suitcases with a suggestion that current Havas workers start packing. Photography student Anna Russett took a different route. Havas offered two internships to people who could show they had more than 50,000 Instagram followers. When we met, she was at around 111,000.
That's basically my resume, like showing that I can gain that many followers.
She applied through a smartphone app called Popular Pays. That's a startup with offices at Havas. As Peterson and Russert explained it, Popular Pays allows users to get free stuff from local businesses if they agree to post photos of those rewards to a big enough group of Instagram followers.
That's currency because I can go into Antique Taco and I can go, okay, because I have 1,000 followers, I can exchange that currency for a free milkshake.
You will share that photo with that amount of people, like guaranteed.
So you're saying I will pimp myself to these 100,000 people for a milkshake?
You've been to Antique Taco? It's a horchata milkshake. It's delicious.
Among the intern's duties this summer, coaching Havas employees on making better use of social media. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And before we go, what is Abercrombie & Fitch clothing without the big fat logo? The Wall Street Journal reports Abercrombie is going logo-free for its spring line. Teens now don't like logos, their research is telling them. My grandpa High used to say about branded merchandise, if you want to be a walking billboard, they ought to pay you. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.